This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, August 9th, 2023 edition. I'm Justin Klein, and I am here ready to help make you a better investor. And we are solidly into the second half of the year, and it's been an interesting year, and historically there's more volatility in the back half of the year than the first half, and you're starting to see that a bit. Liquidity tends to be a bit choppier, and that manifests in markets, and you've seen that today. We're still in the midst of earnings season, so that's obviously allowing or forcing big moves in particular names and the market as a whole. So we are going to help you navigate this and help you think about the steps that it takes to become a successful investor. And that doesn't mean that you learn just a handful of things and you set it and you forget it, you're done. It's a constant journey. Markets change, economies change, sectors change, industries change, and you need to be up on that. And so in today's world, that becomes infinitely more complex as time goes on with technology and globalization or deglobalization. Now, at this point, this is something that takes some work, takes some time, but we are here to try to help you weed through the noise and keep it as simple as possible. It's not so simple that you can just, pick, for example, the highest dividend yielding stocks. It's not like that. But if you understand the variables, you can distill what is important to the input in your decision-making process. And an input isn't about using emotions. It's about using the facts on the ground. And sometimes those facts are easy to find. Other times those facts that we call, noise, headlines that might excite the emotions, but how much does that really matter? So those are things that we discuss on this show, is try to help answer your questions, number one, and we do that in a very unbiased manner with over 20 plus years of investment experience, giving you perspective and data that are important to the role that you have, which is being the shepherd of your money. Okay, so this podcast is about you, and it's your opportunity to submit your finance and investment questions so that we can help. The more you call, the more we can help you and the rest of the InvestTalk community. So remember, when you call, it's not just you that you are helping. So the phone lines never close. It's 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, our main focus point today looks at e-commerce and the growth and where things are shifting. The pandemic boom in online retail has return to mean reversion. And so we're going to drill into that topic. Also, 401ks and what employers can do to protect employees from themselves, from bad habits. And we're going to look at the structure a lot of 401k plans and what makes good structure and what makes bad. Also, Amazon is meeting with FTC officials. And there's an expectation of an antitrust complaint. So we're going to dig into that and what FTC Chair Lina Khan is thinking. And then lastly, mortgage REITs. Guess what? Their lending has dried up. And what does that say about the balance sheets of a lot of these mortgage REITs? Remember what I just said? Don't just buy the highest dividend yielding stocks out there. The mortgage REITs are often the highest dividend yielding ones in the market. Doesn't mean they're great investments, but they pay you out some money. But you can see here is that is often at the detriment to their entire balance sheet. So we're going to look at that story. So that's what's on my mind, but ultimately we're going to get to your voice bank questions as well. One is on Permianville Royalty Trust, PVL, and Zim Integrated Shipping, as well as your live calls as well. Most importantly, at 888-99-CHART. So don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call. And let's take a look at the market today. It was decidedly red day. And on the growth side of the market, you had some big moves down. Palantir down 10.5%, Nikola down 12%, Rivian down 10%, Nvidia down nearly 5%, NIO down 4%, Roblox down 22%, Advanced Micro Devices down 2.4%. I'm just looking at some of the biggest movers out there in the marketplace. What else? Angie down 33%. Upstart, remember Upstart? Buy now, pay later, down 34% today. So a lot of the names that had that counter trend rally this year on the growth side are starting to crater a bit. Some of them cratering, some are just rolling over. But you clearly had that biggest so far in the last few weeks, the biggest move in the growth side of the market, really pulling back on higher interest rates and obviously the earnings announcements that you're seeing out as well. So you continue to see this slow motion kind of shift in the market that I've been talking about for the last few weeks. All right, let's head over to Arizona and talk with Taylor. He wants to talk about infinite banking.
Yeah, hey there. Thanks for doing what you guys do. I appreciate it. So sure. I have a brother who came across a little bit of money. I don't know the exact dollar amount, but the important thing is that he's being sold on an idea called infinite banking. Right. My mother's involved as well, but I understand the basic concepts that's involved with the mutual funds. I was wondering if you guys had ever heard of it, and if so, do you have any other details? That guy named Ramsey online, he has a video saying it's a scam, so just curious what your guys' thoughts are.
Yeah, this is one of those sales pitches that happen around whole life policies and universal life policies, and it's basically another marketing pitch to try to get people to pony up their premiums for these type of policies. And, you know, it's one of those things where it sounds great, but the devil's always in the details. And there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion that happens around these type of these policies. Remember, these are very long life insurance policies. They are very complex. And once again, the devil's in the details. But most people don't read the details. They read the marketing points and they listen to the person selling that life insurance policy because the person selling it is going to earn a huge commission on it. So there's a lot of incentive to really push on these great talking points without really touching on the details. And what I would say is you can take the difference between a term life policy and a whole or universal life policy and go invest that. And guess what? You can borrow against that money as well, right? You can get margin loans. You can just take out some of that money. If you put in a Roth IRA, right, you can take that money out penalty free, the amount you put in. So that's much better to go and take that difference, go invest it into Roth IRA, even just a regular brokerage account. Because there's not the fees associated with it that are typically very high within an insurance policy. This is what I would say simply. Insurance is insurance. It's not an investment vehicle. It should never be an investment vehicle. If you need insurance, and a lot of people do, right? They're working, they have kids, they have a spouse, and if something happens to them, they want to make sure that their family is taken care of. Most people need that if they have people that rely on them. So go buy a term policy and take the rest and go invest it elsewhere. And you'll do a lot better because history shows that universal and whole life policies are terrible investments. And I say this time after time. I've done this over 20 years. And I've talked to hundreds, if not thousands of people one-on-one looking at their assets, etc. And I have never once had a person that was happy that they bought a whole or universal life insurance policy. Not one single person.
sounds like to me my Google searching with a scam at the end of it paid off. So I appreciate your analysis, and I'm sure the world does as well, the ones paying attention to this. So thanks for what you do.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Taylor. And I know it's hard. A lot of people that come into money, they don't have an experience there. And the last person you should be going to talk to is some insurance person selling you whole or universal life policy. There are a lot out there. Like I said, it's very lucrative to sell it. And so just hopefully focus on somebody who's a fiduciary. And anybody who's a fiduciary is not selling whole or universal life policies. These are only brokers out for that commission. That's it. Now, as we headed to a break, let me tell you about the new video feature we are producing. It's called the InvestTalk Sector Spotlight, and it is free. And our second episode is out on the energy sector. And we talk about the ongoing war in Ukraine, as well as the dynamics after the wake of the fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are a lot of pitfalls to avoid within the energy sector, as well as opportunities. A lot of opportunities right now. So you have to be informed, and that's why we did this episode. So you can find it over on our YouTube channel. So check out the new InvestTalk Sector Spotlight and give me a call now. The phone lines are open, waiting for your questions at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein talks about the KPP Financial Premium Newsletter.
I want to remind you that this is a time where you probably need some guidance, and you're tuning in to try to get our view of the markets. And we only have an hour here, and sometimes the way I distill each day can be maybe not enough time. And so our premium newsletter is a great tool for especially newer investors trying to learn some things.
The KPP Financial Premium Newsletter comes to your mailbox every Saturday.
Learn how to analyze the market, learn what the economic numbers mean, learn how to manage a portfolio, maybe get an idea of what are good companies to be at least looking at. Maybe you don't buy it today, but you should always have a watch list of companies that, hey, these are interesting. These have good businesses. And if they get the right price, maybe I should buy them. So our newsletter is a great tool for that.
Subscribe anytime at investtalk.com. Justin Klein is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Stephen Django out of Charleston, South Carolina. Just wanted to get a comparison and an understanding of the business model behind the companies I'm going to mention in a second. The quid pro quo would be helpful, understanding the business model behind royalties better, and the comparison of the two and why it matters. Tickers are PVL and NRT. Appreciate the time. Hope I get some insight on this and look forward to hearing back. Hope this helps the other listeners during this demand of oil and OPEC cuts and all the other fluctuation in this world right now. Thanks for everything you do. Appreciate the time on your clock, and I hope it gets answered. Have a great day, guys.
All right, looking at Permianville Royalty Trust as well as North European Oil Royalty Trust. And these are royalty trusts. And let me explain what they are. Basically, they hold rights to certain land. And ideally, that land is producing or has underneath it some sort of mineral or energy asset. And in this case, and most of these royalty trusts have oil and gas underneath. The issue here is that there are shelf lives to their royalties, right? It's not indefinitely. It typically ends over a certain period. And so they have a suite of royalties on various land, and it's up to the investor to know when those expire, because guess what? Once it expires, that's gone. That asset is, there's no revenue from it. Okay. They have a license to it, and that's it. So the lease is over, and whatever they got over that time period, that's what they got. Now, Northern European Royalty Trust, that operates in Germany. And so there's some regulatory issues around that. And you know, with dealing with the German government, so that's part of it. It's different than dealing with our government. So that's something to think about as well. Whereas PVT, which is the Permian Vale Royalty Trust, that has rights in Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, etc. Now, the reason these all are in decline is because the shelf life, once again, of their assets are declining. Once that those leases are up, this ceases really to exist. So they sound like they it's great because they pay you a high dividend yield, but that dividend will end at a certain point. So you really have to look at the length of their royalty rights. So neither one would probably be a good way for me, in my mind, to take advantage of the oil market. I'd rather buy an EP company that isn't subject to their assets just disappearing eventually at some point. So I'm passing on both of them. Now we're going to a quick break. Please remember that you can call anytime, leave your questions on the Invest Talk Voice Bank, or if you're listening via the live stream or on AM 1220 radio in the Silicon Valley area, you can call now at 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is constantly changing, and serious investors know that they need to modify their portfolio assets to fit the times. And now, with more than 50 million downloads, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley reaffirm their commitment to providing unbiased finance and investment guidance here on InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Go talk to Nick in Manhattan Beach. Wants to talk about SCHD.
Hi, Justin. Yeah, I historically have been pretty overweight, large cap growth. I'm looking to rebalance and get more into value, predominantly large cap dividend growers. I'm thinking about SCHD, the Schwab dividend ETF. I am comparing it with Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF, VIG. I know that Schwab, the SCHD sort of targets for companies like consistent growers of dividends, but not necessarily companies that are growing sales or profits fast, sort of the big, large established companies like Pepsi, Coca-Cola. Merck, whatnot, whereas VIG is looking for companies that not just maintain dividends, but grow them pretty fast, double-digit rates. And so it includes companies like Microsoft and Apple, as opposed to just the big old established ones, like, you know, Pepsi and Coke, as I mentioned. What do you think is a better bet for both capital appreciation but also income?
Well, you kind of answered it there, where Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Fund does hold some of those growthier names. Its top position is Microsoft. Second is Apple. And it's more of a blend. It does lean slightly on the value side, but it's still more of a large cap blend. Whereas the Schwab Dividend Fund, that one is clearly set in the large cap value space. Its largest holding is Broadcom, then AbbVie, Home Depot, Amgen, Cisco. And its exposure to tech is only about 12%, whereas the dividend growth is 22%, much closer to the broad index. So, yeah, the Schwab D is certainly a much better pure play value ETF versus the dividend growth. And so that's probably what I would go with, is something that's more of a pure play value.
All right. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, my main focus point is in regards to e-commerce. And Amazon just had earnings recently, and they reported 11% year-on-year growth for the second quarter of the year, excluding its cloud computing division. So mainly its e-commerce business. And that sounds pretty good, 11%. That's solid, and especially in a slowing economic and consumer environment. But it's way down from the 42% sales growth that it had in the same quarter in 2020. Now, obviously, it was the pandemic shutdowns that pushed everybody to shop online. But it's this 11% is even slower than its pre-pandemic trend. And then you look at other large e-commerce platforms like Wayfair. They just reported earnings, and it was the ninth consecutive quarter of declining sales. And obviously, that's more of a pure play e-commerce business. Amazon's a bit more diversified, even when you pull out the cloud computing division. Now, the online share of retail spending in America has been around 15%. And it's been stagnant there for a while. And it's basically back to its pre-pandemic trend. Now, pre-pandemic, it was lower than that, but the upward trajectory had it saying, hey, by that this time, if there was no pandemic, it would probably be around 15% anyway. So has the pandemic changed longer-term trajectory of consumer behavior? No, it hasn't. It hasn't. It was just that short-term boost, and that's why you saw a lot of those names kind of extrapolating that growth going forward, and that has corrected in a big way. And the story is the same in places like Britain, France, and Germany. So this isn't just a U.S. thing. And certain categories are struggling more than others. For example, clothing. People are going back to the store, and there's actually shrinkage in online purchases of clothes. Grocery as well. Grocery's still up. It was 4% of online shopping. Online grocery shopping was 4% of grocery sales in 2019. That went to 7% in 2020. And is now up to 9%. But it is a tougher business because margins within the grocery business are small anyway. So adding on the cost of an employee going and picking out those shelves and delivering it, it's a tougher business for e-commerce platforms to make a lot of money in. And the fact that Amazon bought Whole Foods was a good example of that, needing those brick and mortar stores to make that type of business more sustainable. Now, there's also more competition from more direct to consumer sales platforms like Shopify. And if you look at Shopify's latest announcements, they had earnings, they had sales growth up 31%, way higher than Amazon. Okay. And so what's happening here is the middleman, Amazon would be the middleman, is being cut out more and more, especially as platforms, social media platforms, are allowing more direct access to buying on their platforms. And so you don't need to go, you don't need to see something on social media and go to Amazon to buy. Obviously, people still do that, but oftentimes you can buy directly on the app or a link out to that influencer's website, and that's happening more and more as well. So these more direct-to-consumer businesses are kind of eating in to the e-commerce platform business like Amazon or Wayfair, etc. And I think that's a trend that will only continue, and that's probably the biggest competition for Amazon. Now we're heading into a break. Ready for your questions right now, live at 888-99-CHART.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It is official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com.
One of the most rewarding things I do each weekday is host the Invest Talk podcast. I truly enjoy helping investors, and I know that every question counts and every answer I provide will be unbiased. You, the caller, get to chart the course for each Invest Talk podcast. Call with your questions anytime, day or night, 888-99-CHART.
Now, the next Invest Talk, we will look into the story behind this question. Is capitulation at the market's highest levels coinciding with a subtle shift in the market narrative? More big name investors have been shuttering their bearish bets and changing their bad outlook, even as the stock market has began to edge lower. That story tomorrow, but for now, let's pivot to the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin, I have a question on a stock that was recommended to me. The stock symbol is ZIM, Integrated Shipping Services. Can you give me a little insight on this stock? Is it a buy, or should I stay away, or what is the good entry point? Anyways, I appreciate your guys' service. You guys do a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to hearing the response on your podcast. Thank you.
This is the epitome of a name that many investors are looking at because they're looking in the rear view mirror. They're not investing through the windshield, which we talk about all the time. Looking forward, not backwards. Now, if you look backwards, 2021 and 2022, they made massive amounts of profit. $39 per share in 2021, $38 a share in 2022, and it's trading at $14 per share. So you'd say, where's the beef here, right? Why is it trading so low? And the yield, current dividend yield, is 120%. It's really funny. You know why? Because this year, expected earnings are supposed to be negative $2.30. Next year, negative $4 per share. And I remember when this was just starting to break down technically in the low 50s, maybe around $60 per share. Its high was around $85, $90 per share. And I was saying that earnings growth is slowing down and it's not going to earn this much. Remember, just to back up here, this is a company in the shipping business. So remember when there was everyone was buying physical goods and there was not enough ships to go around, they made a ton of money. And they were losing money in 2019. So the pandemic helped them tremendously. And they went public. They went public on this in 2021 on the back of these huge earnings. And it rallied from 12 all the way to, you know, nearly $90. Now it's back to 14. So based on last year's earnings, the year before, it's super cheap. But what are the odds we're going to return to that economic environment? Probably very low. So you're just going to burn capital. So I don't know who recommended this to you, but I would not be listening to them because clearly they are looking backwards and they don't have good data. You need to know what is likely moving forward, not what happened in the past. All right. Now let's talk a bit about 401k plans. Most people have them that are out there, or their spouse does, or their son or daughter or sister or cousin. And oftentimes plan structure can say a lot about how smartly, the assets are allocated within that plan. And oftentimes employees are their own worst enemies. But it's really up to two people to make the decision on how these 401k plans are structured. Now, the first would be the advisor. Unfortunately, a lot of advisors are conflicted. They're brokers and they sell high fee funds. I actually just talked to a client who asked me to help allocate their 401k plan a couple years back. And it was so bad that I said, you need to go to your employer and say, this is so bad, frankly, I could sue you. And that's true. Any employee can sue their company if their 401k plan is not structured in the best interest of the employees. The employer has a fiduciary duty to do that. And so that's number two, is the employer needs to put together a fund lineup that will get employees to make smarter decisions. So crafting a menu of options that makes sense. So it's really at the end of the day, it's up to your employer. The employer's your boss as well as the boss of the advisor that's on the plan. So the employer needs to be educated on this. Now, menu is part of the problem. That could be too high of fees. It could be funds that are too narrow in their scope. So people, you know, think if you had a tech fund in your 401k, how many people would just buy that? Oh, I love technology. I want to invest in technology. And that's just all I'm going to own. But that happens, right? So streaming down the investment lineup certainly is helpful. And it goes back to our focus point on Monday, and that's the more balanced funds. They have the least loss to bad decision-making, right? Chasing returns up and down. So those blended funds, why targeted funds are good kind of default options, because they are naturally blended. Are they the best option if you know what you're doing? No, but they're better than most people's alternative, which is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just chase the what did the best over the last 3 years or 5 years. That's what most people do. So employers need to help workers make better choices. So streamlining those funds, and then also safe putting guardrails so where they can't put too much in one particular fund. That's a structure as well. I think most companies should have that. I don't think anybody should just be in one fund. That happens with the employer stock plan. 2/3 of employers that offer their company stock limit the amount you can their employers can allocate to 20%. And I think that is a smart structure. And so if you are part of the decision-making process or you can influence it within your 401k, talking about these guardrails as well as streamlining the investment options, I think is helpful. Now, the more caller questions we fit in the podcast, the better your learning experience will be. So let's play another question from the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, this is Dan from Walnut Creek, and I have a question about CDs. If I purchase a 3-year CD, would I get a tax document at the end of each of the 3 years, or would I just get an accumulative one at the end of the third year? Thanks.
You should get a tax document each year, so on the income of that CD. So I believe there are CDs that are zero income CDs, meaning you buy them at a discount, kind of like zero coupon bonds, and you get your maturity. And that may be different, but yeah, you'll get a tax document from your bank on the income you receive for that particular year. Let's go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Sanket from Boston. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this ETF, JP. J as in Jordan, E as in English, P as in Peter, I as in India. Was looking at this ETF as a means for capital preservation to a certain extent and also getting the juicy 10-11% dividend. Looking to get your thoughts on this. Thanks.
Well, once again, don't focus on the dividend, especially these funds, because you don't know where that dividend is coming from. Is it sustainable or not? You want to look at the total return. Now, so far, since it launched in 2021, it's had decent returns, except for this year, only up to about 7%. Now, what this is for everyone else, this is a covered call strategy by JP Morgan, JEPI. And now we run a covered call strategy. This is up 7% for the year. I will tell you, we're doing much better than 7% in our covered call strategy. So it's okay. It's fine. It's better than the covered call ETFs that just track an index. I will say that. I like the mix of the assets. It tends to lean a little more to the value side of the market, which is good. But it's still leaning on the growth side, just not as much as the S&P, for example. So it's okay. If you just want to put a small percentage, you want access to a covered call strategy, this is the one for you. But don't focus, once again, on that dividend. It's the total return that you're getting. Okay? And if you look at the distributions, they're all over the place. It was 61 cents in December of last year. Then this last time, it was only 29 cents. So I don't see this dividend as sustainable. And that's why, you just want to look at the assets that you're holding, that it's holding. And it's okay. Its top holding is still Amazon. Don't love that. Then Adobe, then Microsoft. Don't love that. So once again, it's a better alternative than the cover call index tracking ETFs. But it's still just a so-so fund overall. And this goes back, you know, I still get so many people just focusing on the dividend, right? That person, Zim Holdings, probably focused on the dividend. It's not about the dividend. It's about the business or the fund, or the mix of assets that fund's holding. And let's go back to that call on Nick when he was talking about SCHD and VIG. I didn't look at the dividend for 1 second. I know they both pay a dividend. They're dividend ETFs. That didn't matter to me. It mattered about the businesses that it's holding. So don't chase dividend. Chase good companies and smart assets. All right, for those who may be new to InvestTalk, let me show you that I'm always careful to give my straight and unbiased answer. No hidden agenda here, and most of your questions will drive the direction of today's podcast. And one thing I can say for sure is today's investing situation is different than we've had over the past several decades, and we have higher inflation, higher interest rates, and duration matters again. And duration is important for a lot of different types of assets. Real estate has duration to it. Why? Because mortgage rates are long-term. Mortgages are long-term. And so because most people finance real estate with mortgages, there's duration risk with real estate. Just like there is with owning a long-term bond. Just like there is with owning tech stocks, growth stocks. They're long-duration assets because the income and the profits from that business are far away. So these are the new type of risks that you have to account for when you're looking to invest. So it's my goal that you to help you understand the current market environment that we're in, avoid the pitfalls, and capitalize on the opportunities, because there still are a lot of great opportunities. They're just not that sexy typically. So I invite your phone calls and questions now on our anytime toll-free listener line at 888-99-CHART.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. InvestTalk is a free download. Your participation makes it unique. Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's touch a bit on a meeting that's happening next week. It's actually on August 14th, so 5 days from now. And it will be between representatives of Amazon and the FTC. And it looks like there's either two things are going to happen. There are going to be a lawsuit, an antitrust lawsuit and complaint, or there's going to be some sort of settlement. And so these type of meetings are the last phase in the process of the investigation. And this is obviously headed by FTC Chairman Lina Khan. And she built her career in part by arguing that in an academic paper that Amazon amassed too much market power and that antitrust law failed to restrain its power. So they've examined Amazon's practices, including whether it favors its own products over competitors on its platform and how it treats outside sellers on their platform as well. So they've done things like take all the data. They have a lot of data. They know what's being searched for. They know what is being sold. And instead of leaving it all alone, letting the chips fall where they may, what they've done in many cases is they said, oh, that's in high demand. Why don't we just go source it ourselves and sell it? We know it's in high demand. We know we can produce it for X. We can go and favor our rankings or our products in the rankings and basically undercut their customers, right? Their customers are a lot of the sellers on the platform. And so that's using your power to really take out your competitors. Now, the lawsuit could challenge a lot of their businesses. So it's not just retail, but that's probably mainly where they're focusing on their anti-competitive practices. And I see this more and more. It's not just higher interest rates and higher inflation that's threatening a lot of these names. It's a shift in government policy that is saying, and a lot of this is bipartisan in some ways, that this isn't an environment that is being nice to the big names anymore and allowing them to buy up a bunch of the smaller names and consolidate power. And I think that is also a detriment to growth long term. Now we're heading into our final break, and I'm here ready to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
You're building your financial future, but you must have finance and investment questions. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to provide their unbiased answers. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, Steve, it's JW from Florida. Love the show. Just wanted to know what you thought about Clover Health, C-L-O-V. They just had earnings today, and they said they're delighted to have delivered our first quarterly adjusted EBITDA profit as a public company. They keep talking about profitability this year and next year. Is AI company Clover Assistant? Let me know. Thanks.
Well, this is a good example of, I believe, a company weaponizing AI, meaning the term AI. You know, how much is it really deploying AI? This is a company that provides seniors with data-driven PPO and HMO insurance plans for Medicare-eligible customers. And their revenues have grown dramatically, but their business continues to suffer. I believe this went public via SPAC, it looks like, because it was hanging around $10 for a while in 2020 in the heyday of SPACs. And now it's at $1.39, and it's never made a profit in a full year. Like you said, it sounds like they reached modest profitability in the quarter, but that's one quarter. And I don't like companies like this that are struggling to get to profitability. Could they get there? Sure, but they're doing that with revenue down 39% year over year. I'm not touching this. I see nothing exciting about this business. It continues to burn capital overall. It's one quarter, and one quarter doesn't make a trend. So if it can string some together and continue to see growth there, maybe. But the technicals, while improving a little bit as of late, not something that overall I have a lot of conviction. And in fact, its earnings boost that it got faded late in the day and closed near the lows. And that's what we call a topping tail on the chart, and which is a bearish signal. So I would not be buying Clover. All right, lastly, let's touch a bit on the commercial real estate market and mainly the REITs. And there's a couple big ones. Two of the biggest mortgage REITs out there are Blackstone Mortgage Trust and KKR Real Estate Finance Trust. And they've halted all new borrowing. They're not lending anymore. Now, they're dealing with existing loans and trying to make sure that they stay in place and aren't defaulting, and maybe working on the margins to restructure those loans. But they're not originating any new loans in the first half of the year. And other large ones like Starwood Property Trust, they have drastically reduced their new lending in recent quarters. Now, mortgage REITs tend to lend to property owners instead of buying and developing real estate themselves. And they typically originate on average $10 billion of loans per quarter. But that's down to a trickle. And they're pulling back really to protect their balance sheets. And that's one issue with REITs, is that they have to pay out 90% of their income to shareholders. What that means is, if they're borrowing money, there's not a lot left over to pay down their debt. A total commercial and multifamily mortgage lending expected to fall to $504 billion this year, a 38% decline from last year. And other lenders are pulling back as well. Small and mid-sized regional banks, they're pulling back because they're trying to shore up their balance sheets, obviously in the wake of the banking crisis. And the companies that are kind of having a field day, insurance companies and other non-bank lenders that aren't REITs, and they're kind of having a field day. So insurance companies are getting good terms, and it's very difficult to roll over a lot of these debts that are coming due. And you know, this is a good example of why you can't just focus on the dividend. For example, Starwood so far this year, it's the best one, only down 21%. Blackstone's down 32%, KKR down 41%. Who cares about the dividend when you're down that much? And that's because they're having strains in their balance sheet, because the assets in their balance sheet are being strained as well. So another example of why don't just follow the dividend. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And it's official. We have now surpassed the 54.7 million download mark since it all began. So tell your friends about Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.